All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
Sean, today we've got, what do we call it? Our flight of persuasion.
Flight of persuasion. A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah. But here's our key headline, okay? We're going to tease you.
All right. Okay.
This is our question for the day on this episode. We don't have any guests today, so we're going to be talking about the topic of will AI replace copywriters? Because we know we got a lot of copywriters who listen in.
Yeah.
And so this comes from an article, and I shared it with you. There's been some, actually a few articles recently on the topic of AI replacing lots of things, but copywriters being one of them. Really? Yep.
We'll see. Like, can they really get the human element? That's what we'll kind of be talking about.
Yeah.
And we'll find out. We'll see what the numbers say. I've got some numbers to show. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that. And before we talk beer, we should probably talk about our sponsor.
That's right. We should.
Instead of waiting until the end of the show like we usually do.
You know what? And I actually did them justice this week, Sean. I actually put together a little bit of copy. I don't know how good AI could do a better job than this, but I'll read it from the top. Our sponsor this week is Craft Beer Club, the outstanding craft beers from the finest independent microbreweries in the U.S. of A.
I like it.
That's it. So you can find them over at persuasionbythepint.com/craft beer. You know that craft beers have exploded in popularity over the past decade. So there are thousands of awesome craft beers being produced. One of the best ways to sample these unique beers is by letting the original Craft Beer Club do the legwork and tasting to bring you the best beer discoveries all over the country. And Sean, you got some sample goods, right?
I do. I'm not going to be talking about them today, but starting next week.
Okay, I'll have next week. Yeah, because you're putting together a little.
Yeah, the box came yesterday. Sweet. So it's down on the kitchen counter. I'm going to do an unboxing video.
Awesome.
Take a look at what we got inside. Like, I know it's coming because they send you a list right before it ships. So I know it's coming, but still do an unboxing so people can see what it looks like, how it comes.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm excited to dive in there. And you know, if you just think about like the different beers that I've had on the show being in Texas compared to what you're able to find.
Yeah.
And then multiply that to the whole country.
Right.
I mean, that's basically what Craft Beer Club does, right? They've got the whole country to deal with and they can ship you all these craft beers from Texas and everywhere else.
Do all the legwork for you.
Right. Exactly.
You're not running over to Total Wine or whatever your favorite place is looking. And you know, if you're like me, I've gone through every single beer at Topside where I go to. So there's nothing left, you know. It's like I just go in there occasionally. See, you guys got anything different? Nope.
So, you're like, dude, you bought 140 different beers. What do you want from us?
What do you want?
If it was wine, it'd be easy.
That's right. That's right.
But it's not.
Plenty of wine.
That's a different show. So
all right.
That'd be like a political show. Yeah. Wine. Whining and wine.
Yes, whining and more wine.
All right. Yeah, so what do you got?
Okay, so today I had to do a double take on this one to really figure out what month it was, because this one is called, it sounds really good, but it's an Imperial Pumpkin Stout. So I'm thinking, aren't we a little ahead? So either this beer, this is a limited Southern Tier brewing company, Warlock. And it's an Imperial Pumpkin Stout. So either this thing's really old or we've got to jump on the...
Jumping the gun there, huh?
So I don't know. I just thought...
Well, they got to buy the pumpkin spice before it goes, you know...
That's right.
It goes through the roof in price for Starbucks in September, October.
That's right. Everybody's lining up at their local Starbucks for the pumpkin spice.
Yes.
And pumpkin spice.
The pumpkin spice commodities market is just going to go through the roof in the next 14 days here. So you got to get it done. It's like Trading Spaces, you know, the orange juice.
Yeah.
You got to get the contracts before they peak.
That's right. That's right. All right. Good time to invest in pumpkins and spices.
Let me put on my old reading glasses here.
All right.
So I've got Gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, sorry, Batkeeper, because we're in Austin. My bad.
Batkeeper.
And this is a bourbon barrel ale, but I'm just totally screwing this up. Hold on. It's a stout aged in Jameson casks.
Jameson.
So it's a bourbon. Ooh. So it's a bourbon barrel type thing, but it's
Jameson. I love Jameson.
It's Jameson.
Yes.
I was thinking bourbon barrel because that's the other one I was about to grab, but mm-hmm. I grabbed this one instead because mm-hmm. I'm saving the other one for next week when we have a special guest on.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's
this one.
Cool. Can't hold that up.
Yeah. It's actually like a barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it looks like a barrel. It's called Batkeeper because we have bats here in Austin. That's one of our tourist attractions mm-hmm. is bats. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's 9.5% alcohol by volume.
Okay. All right.
I've already had this one, so I can tell you it's good.
So you know it's good.
When Ryan came over last week, he and I had a beer on the porch on the rocking chairs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's good stuff. So let me pour it because it's kind of dark.
All right. So yours is not, what'd you say?
Nine and a half.
Mine is 8.6. Nice.
That's a good healthy beer.
Yeah. It's a good imperial. So it's an imperial stout too.
So. Yeah. So it should be, it should be pretty sweet. I would think not too
bad. Probably.
We'll see. So anyway, no head at all. Just a pour.
All right. Let's compare. Both pretty dark there. Yeah, yep. Man, you've got no. I mean, that thing's like flat. That's like day old Coke.
It does kind of look like it.
All right.
Cheers.
You can't even see mine because this stupid camera. Oh, there we go. Yeah. There we go. Second. Ooh. I got to say, Sean, this is making me look forward to October.
Yeah, really? Yeah, well, that's our season, right? I mean, for beers,
that's right.
We're more fall, winter beer guys. So,
well, this tastes like an October, right? I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, because it's not football season anymore, that's for sure. Not this year.
It will be pumpkin imperial style season.
All right, I like it. So, pretty good then, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get the that initial taste. It's you obviously it does taste a little like a pumpkin spice, like you're getting a pumpkin spice latte at Starbucks.
Yeah,
but it fades away. But the it's got a real good aftertaste, and it's not too sweet. So
you know somebody's going to come out with a pumpkin spice latte stout, right? It'll be a pumpkin spice.
I'm writing it down.
Milk stout. Oh, it'll be basically the same thing.
Come October, I can only imagine the shelves will be full.
Absolutely.
All right. How about yours?
So mine's really good. It actually kind of goes towards like an imperial stout. Yeah. It's got a little sweetness to it.
So is that the one you gave? Did Ryan have that one too when he came?
Yeah, he really liked it too.
All right.
So I would give this on our 1 to 5 pints. I would give this. I'd give it 4.5.
4.5.
Ooh, yeah, it's good.
It's a high one for you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got the Jameson casks, you got the stout. I mean, it's got all the right things in it. So it's hard to go wrong. So perfect. Yeah, it's good.
And where did you find that?
This was at the HEB Heb, I think. No. This was at our Specs, which is a liquor store here.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the Austin. It's the biggest liquor store other than Total Wine in Austin, and there's more of them. So,
I'm really having a hard time.
Between a 4 and a 4.5, or like,
yeah, I think I'm somewhere in between 4 and 4.5. It's definitely a 4, so I'm gonna give it a 4.2.
That's all right.
Yeah. It's definitely worth it.
Still pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. I like it. It's a good score.
Yes.
So
I'll enjoy this one. I got to remember this one become come actual October when the pumpkins are out. So,
yeah, tell them to put you some on order.
All right. So, what about these robots, man? What are we going to do? Taking over the world.
I mean, Will Smith warned us about these things years ago in iRobot. Nobody would listen. And here we are.
That's right. John Connor with Skynet tried to warn everybody. I mean, we don't listen.
We don't listen. The allure is too strong. Yeah, so you forwarded me an article from AWAI that Ed Gandia wrote. And in there, Ed was like, you know, there's a lot of talk about AI. Is it going to displace workers? Which it is definitely going to displace workers, no doubt.
Yeah.
The question is, like, what level is it just going to replace anybody that's got anything to do with, you know, I mean, it's not just words or copy. Like, AI is doing all kinds of things.
Right.
And I've been hearing for, you know, 3 or 4 years. I don't remember if it was like Peter Diamandis or one of those. Mm-hmm. Or if it was Joe Rogan. It's one of the bigger names. They were talking about 2 or 3 years ago that AI sales conversations were outclosing like phone telesales were outclosing regular salespeople.
Yeah.
And I can kind of believe that because the advantage AI has is that once something works, it can refine it and refine it.
Yeah.
As opposed to a salesperson, because they're human, they tend to try to reinvent the wheel.
Trial and error. Yeah. I mean, they make mistakes along the way.
And make mistakes slower.
Slower. Yeah. That's that because AI can make mistakes, but it can quickly rebound because of the, it can adjust, you know, adjust its own algorithm or whatever. So,
yeah. So in this article, he talks about, according to Ad Age magazine, one of the biggest banks in the world, Chase, is replacing some of its copywriters with AI.
Yep.
So in a series of tests, AI technology outperformed Chase's human copywriters. And you made a good point. Like, we have no idea, like, the level of copywriter Chase has internally.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. I mean, these aren't like Madison Avenue copywriters that Chase hired. It sounds like these are internal people.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. And we've seen, I mean, I don't know, how hard is it to write an ad for the 0.25% CD that you're... You know, like, are they writing the brochures that are out in the signage? I mean, I don't know what Chase's
The first thing when I read this article that comes to mind is a bunch of you know, millennials in their mid-20s that are fresh out of college that are like sitting in a cubicle and so they're saying, all right, get us something to work with.
Probably.
Or not in a cubicle anymore. They're sitting at home and.
Yeah. You know, so they hired this. Chase hired this company called Persado, and I started looking it up. And, you know, it's, I mean, if you go to their home site, it's Persado, P-E-R-S-A-D-O.
Yeah.
It talks about, you know, words matter, unlock the power of words, but they use like 5 different inputs.
Yeah.
Emotional, descriptive, formatting, functional, CTA, and then positioning. And it takes all those 5 elements into account when it writes an ad or, you know, a Facebook post or anything. Mm-hmm. And it's constantly testing and, you know, try to get a 1% bump here to 2% bump here. That's the other thing is like AI doesn't care how small the increase is.
Yeah.
Whereas people, we need to see kind of big jumps for it to really matter to us. I think that's just part of human nature. Mm-hmm. Takes a lot more discipline, I think, to get, you know, 10 or 12, 1% increases in a row.
Sure.
Which cumulatively would probably be, I don't know the actual math, but like 25%, right? Because you're compounding on top of each other.
Right.
You know, so I think that's another advantage AI has is they can, they're okay. It's like the robots that are trading on Wall Street, right? They're okay with like an 1/8 cent profit.
Yeah. Course,
as long as they do 1 billion of those transactions, they're fine.
That's right, because that certainly adds up.
Yeah, it's like, you remember the Superman movie with Richard Pryor?
Oh man, yes, but it's been so long.
Like he found out that there was like rounding errors on the pennies for people's paychecks, and then he's in the accounting department. He's like puts all the extra half pennies into his account.
Yep.
And then he drives up in a Ferrari the next day.
That's all it takes. Yeah.
Yeah. So those pennies add up. Yeah. So that's.
It's like those Verizon bills you get with those like little hidden hidden charges. Like what is
14,000 charges. Yeah, your bill is $25 a line, but there's $62 a line in charges. Yeah, so I mean, like they're showing here on their site, mm-hmm. and they don't talk a price. You know it's expensive when it says request a demo.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's pretty expensive.
Absolutely.
Software that says request a demo is not cheap. But yeah, some of the case studies they showed are pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, they're showing like a 66% increase in Facebook, a 39% in display, like Google Display, you know, SMS text, which I think is a great place for AI to practice. Because that's a tough skill to develop, especially if you're a direct response copywriter. It's hard to do text because you're kind of used to writing longer, and text has got to be really kind of short and punchy.
Yeah.
So if you're not good at that, and they're getting 39% increases there. Of course, these are also their, you know. It would be really cool to know if like AI actually wrote this page or if somebody else did. I'm going to book a demo and find out. Did your AI write this page or did you hire somebody? That would be telling.
That would be telling.
But I was looking at this and I was like, you know, so as a copywriter, I was looking at this and I was like, I don't know. If I had the money,
I'd probably hire a copywriter. As a trained copywriter, do you think that copywriters, I'm not talking any copywriter, I'm talking like the top tier copywriters, mm-hmm. you know, let's say the top 10%. You think they're worried?
Nah.
About AI?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah. Here's a line that makes me, if I were a copywriter in the top 20%, 20 percentile in my field, mm-hmm. Here's a sentence that would make me not worry about AI. It says huge established brands are also better candidates for copywriting AI technology than other businesses.
Right.
And why is that? In other words, companies where brand itself is the main driver. So we've talked about this, all the big companies, Coca-Cola, you know, Chase, you know, you name it, all these huge multi-billion dollar companies, it's all about brand. So they're not really, you can call it writing copy, but it's really writing copy that supports their brand, which is different than writing, you know, sales-driven copy on the internet where you're marketing out to, you know, consumers and you're writing, you know, using a lot of the practices of copywriting that we're supposed, you know, that you're supposed to use and to kind of engage the consumers out there. This is a little bit different, you know, it feels different.
Yeah. And branding has, you know, a brand that's that big and that established and that mm-hmm. old, that has that much history.
Right.
Like there's a data bank to work with that the AI can work
absolutely.
With. And you have to have that. Mm-hmm. But if you're a new product, a startup product, a very niche product, you don't have probably enough of that data yet to let AI do its thing. That's AI works best when it has lots of data to work with.
Yeah.
And it can improve on what's been working.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true with a lot of the advances we see in technology, right? Technology is really good at improving something. It's not as good at creating.
Right.
And we just haven't gotten there yet. I think we will in the mm-hmm. next 10 years because the way stuff's advancing and, you know, I think the logic that's available will continue to grow and increase. And because we're all posting so much stuff online, like there's reams of data
Sure.
for AI to scale, to go through and get better and better and better and better. It's kind of like the first GPSs that came out, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're lucky to get within 100 yards of where you're trying to go. Now, I mean, you can get within like 3 feet, like literally you can like walk, you know, before you kind of had to drive, and then they start adding in walking paths and bus routes and like it knows when you're at the bus stop, not across the street from an Uber. Like, you know which side of the street to be on when the, when you call an Uber, because like it shows you.
It's amazing.
And that, and 10 years ago, like you just, it wasn't there. So I do think it's going to continue, but I agree with you. It's going to be better for the bigger brands for now.
But even, let's think about this. Even the bigger brands, do you think a company like Apple would use AI? You know?
I don't know.
It's just a, it would be interesting to know. Do you think, I mean, because they,
I mean,
their so marketing here's has not been up to, you know, up to scale recently.
And,
but some of their past, I think is some of the most creative, advertisements, commercials that they used to put out, you know, the main one being, you know, we all think about is, I'm a Mac, I'm a PC, you know?
Right.
You know, AI, so I can't see AI being able to, you know, duplicate, to
come up with that.
Right.
Right. Unless they start taking what copywriters do, right? Mm-hmm. So what copywriters, especially on that level of campaign, right? So a copywriter is going to, Eugene Schwartz talked about this in a talk to Phillips Publishing 20, 30 years ago. And he was talking about how a copywriter needs to go see all the blockbuster movies that come out every week. He needs to be buying National Enquirer magazine or Us Weekly or whatever to find out what the popular is. So if this company is not putting that kind of data into the AI machine to get a handle on pop culture, politics, science, like all these things that really good copywriters pull from for the big idea, the breakthrough idea, then it's going to have a hard time doing it. I think the other thing they talked about is like, in the article here that Ed wrote, he says using AI to do a lot of grunt work of cranking out copy for hundreds of simpler products could make financial sense. Right. So if you think about it, if you need to put out, you know, 5,000 Facebook ads variations, that's a good job for AI, because you could even have one person write it, plug it in the machine, and then it just, it's kind of like the old article spinners, right? But better. And that was like the start of AI, right? Article spinners.
Oh, I remember those. It's crazy.
And, but they suck. I mean,
they were terrible. They were all, there were like four or five variations and they were all bad.
You know? Yeah. Cause they lost that, like, the colloquialisms, the flow of writing. And I do think AI is getting better and better at that. But it's not quite there yet. Right. So Ed says, his sister works as a marketing director at a very large insurance company. Her team is charged with producing hundreds of pieces of collateral, just for one division of the business. And they're not using AI yet, but they've been outsourcing a lot of the work, to an agency out of India. The quality of the work from getting that agency, are straight. It's just straightforward sales sheets, fact sheets. So you don't need that direct response style copy, right? You just need, you need to take the brand guidelines, the style guides that are in the brand books, and rearrange some of those words and put in the facts and features and stuff, and maybe a benefit or two. That's enough for those, especially when you're in the regulated industries, when you can't be as creative. You know, you can't be super creative with Chase and Smith Barney and all those guys, because they've got so many regulations. There's a very tight, you know, that's why it, it is about images and colors and, you know, the cost of a trade, those kind of things. But yeah, if you want to put a company on the map, you're going to need more, I think, more involved copy.
Like you said, I mean, there's so much data. You think about a company like Coca-Cola, so much established data on their, you know, their demographics, the people that drink, that enjoy Coke, the different brands of Coke. All of that data, I mean, massive amount of data that can go into AI and start to use that, not to mention all of their past campaigns and what's worked. And, you know, there's a lot to work with there.
Exactly.
But it's completely different from a company that's launching a new product from the beginning. I think that's a tougher challenge for AI.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is this week is I'm going to book a call with these people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to record the demo and we can maybe drop it somewhere on our site or we can talk about it next week, but I'll do a Loom video while they're doing their video.
Sure.
To capture it. Okay. So yeah, I think that'd be good. But I think it's some of the stuff you do, writing that introductory email to get in front of the CEO, that's going to be tough for AI to do. Yep. But I absolutely believe in 5 to 10 years, they could get there.
Sure.
I mean, it's just with processor speeds and language, you know, adaptations. I mean, I look at what like Otter AI is doing, and granted, that's not creation again, it's copying.
Right.
But Otter AI, you know, the transcription service is crazy accurate. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they're doing other stuff with that, with those transcriptions. Like they're not just transcribing for free for nothing.
Right.
Like there's another use. And I think it's they're learning the patterns of speech and the colloquialisms of speech and group conversations and the dynamic between, you know, because Otter AI, if you record a Zoom video, that's built into the transcription is the Otter. Mm-hmm. So, right, they're learning how to take a conversation like you and I are having and to see the back and forth so that they can process it for sales conversations for AI. So, and it's kind of like, you know, remember the CAPTCHA stuff that was super popular a few years ago? They're still around, but not as much.
Right.
But, you know, the reason behind that was not security. Like that had nothing to do with it.
No.
Most people don't realize this, but that was to get the driverless technology to be able to read signs that were hard to read.
Sure.
To be able to read addresses, to be able to read stoplights, to be able to read, is that a car? Is that a person? Or is that a whatever?
Yeah.
So it was training the AI. Humans were training the AI that will eventually replace them.
Yep.
We do not learn.
We don't.
All the movies have warned us.
How many episodes, how many sequels of Terminator have we watched and still not learned? I mean, come on.
Yeah. So I'm not worried yet. But I think it's definitely a matter of time before this stuff definitely kicks in.
I do, you know, I think in a lot of data-driven fields, you know, where you're marketing a lot, you know, because in a lot of what I do in sales and marketing to engineers, there is some aspects of AI that will be, I can see that being incorporated because a lot of it, you're providing data-driven analysis to support your sales and marketing. So,
right.
AI will come in handy, but I don't think it can. I think it's going to have to be integrated into the already personal approach and not just be that alone, right?
Yeah.
So,
and I think it'll take over a lot of the that lower level stuff. Like that's where technology usually starts.
Yep.
You know, it's like robots pretty much build, you know, Toyotas, but Ferrari.
Sorry.
Swallow that wrong.
Yeah.
But Ferraris, Rolls Royce, Aston Martins, a lot of those are still handmade.
Right.
You know, absolutely. So there's pieces that are still robotic and things like that, but you can see the difference when you go up in level of quality and stuff, like you're still not using robots and machines and things. There's just something about the human touch that
perceived value is attributed to that. So, you know, I think there's always been a fear. I mean, you look all the way back to the industrialization of automation, automobile manufacturing, people are afraid, oh, God, you know, this is going to kill the assembly line. Well, yeah, it displaced, you know, some workers, but it opened up opportunities for other workers, you know. Who's going to service those?
And there's, I can't remember who wrote it, but there's a good piece about new technology definitely like replaces mm-hmm. old things. Like the automobile got rid of the car, yep. but it also brought on mechanics and machinists right. and, you know, like all the different parts. Like all you need for a horse and buggy is like a blacksmith
yeah.
and somebody who can feed and water the horse, like maybe a woodcrafter, I guess, for the buggy. Maybe three. So it's maybe three or four jobs.
Yep.
But you start building a complex automobile, mm-hmm. especially today, like you need software engineers, you need designers, you need sheet metal guys, you need
absolutely
somebody's got to fix the robots when they go down. Like,
yep.
like all this stuff. And it actually gets exponential. The jobs that are needed, they just change.
Yeah.
And
it really is cool when you walk in. Cause when I visit, like automation, like automobile OEMs, and I go in there and I see people literally, sometimes I think to myself, you know, 100 years ago, people would be working their rear end off and sweating and just mm-hmm. killing themselves in this plant. But I see yeah. guys walking around with a, like a little remote control that's moving a huge robot arm, that's moving a huge, a massive die for a machine that's molding a part. I mean, this thing's yeah. probably like, probably 50 tons. And they're yeah. just like walking under it with a remote control. And this huge arm is just moving it as they automate it and just move it. And it's just one guy by himself, just moving it down the line. And they have a small essential crew compared to what, 100 years ago, you need people to, work and finagle that thing down and use all sorts of equipment and stuff to move that in. Nowadays, it's amazing. So,
but somewhere down the line, or upstream, I guess, technically, for mm-hmm. in that speak, upstream, somebody's making
absolutely
all the stuff that he's operating, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody's making the key,
right.
the pad that he's working with, iPad or whatever. Yeah. Somebody else is making the hoist. There's a welder right. that's welding the frame mm-hmm. that travels on.
And there's a whole bunch of guys just standing around literally that are programmers,
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you need me to reprogram this? Okay. it goes in like, spends like 10 minutes and then he's basically done until they need him again. So yeah. it's like, it's increased the, there's a need for more people that do other things, but their work is so much easier. I mean, they're like, okay, I'll just kind of stand around and when I'm needed, I'm needed. And eventually I think that'll get to the point where they won't need to be there in person, as time goes. We're seeing a lot of that today, so.
Yeah, and then there's other industries that are just, like right now, your kids that, that's mm-hmm. a good age to like be, they need to be thinking about what are they going to do for work.
Yep.
And the secure stuff is the old stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Plumbers, right. welders, exactly. electricians.
That's right.
Like you can't AI that stuff.
No, you can't.
And I think there's going to be a huge resurgence in trades over the next 10, 15 years because college has lost its mm-hmm. value.
Yep.
Like unless you want to be a doctor, lawyer, or something like that, that requires that certification.
Yep.
Trade school is actually a much right. better return on investment right now. So, and I think anything that requires that kind of hands-on trade, and copy has that to a degree, mm-hmm. marketing has that to a degree. Yep. And also when you get higher interpersonal skills, that's going to be safer longer.
Sure.
Until AI gets really good.
Yep.
So, any type of one-to-one sales, that kind of stuff is now if you're doing just mass sales and you're selling something pretty cheap, that's like term life insurance. I could see a computer selling that just as well as a salesperson.
Yeah.
Right. Cause people are shopping for that.
Sure.
But if you want to start selling universal life, and all the things that it can do, mm-hmm. that requires a little bit different presentation, a little bit different person
right.
to sell up.
Yeah.
So, you had something else in a book you wanted to cover.
Yeah. So, we'll maybe cover some of these, next week. Cause we've hit 30 minutes and we're going to cut it short a little bit, but just going to tease people for next week.
All right. So we can go over this with our guest next week.
Yes.
He would have some good,
do you want to tease that for next week or do
you want to kind of leave that? Let's just say that this guy This guy worked directly with Gary Halbert.
Ah.
Like, sat across a desk from him.
Enough said.
In, I think, Costa Rica.
Uh-huh.
Worked one, you know, shoulder to shoulder, face to face with Gary Halbert. Has a very successful print newsletter business and has for a long time. So he's in that world of, he is a copywriter, but he's also, he's been in the physical products business, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
with the supplements. So he was doing ads for supplements back when you had to buy a $30,000 full page magazine spread.
Wow.
And hope your copy converted.
Huge risk there.
And you had to buy that space like 3 months ahead yeah. of time.
Oh yeah.
So like, it's not this instant, put your credit card in Facebook and get, you know,
none of this AI stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, everybody's like, put $1 in, get $3 right, back. And right. yeah, I mean, yeah. theoretically you can do that. It's not as easy as people make it sound, but imagine like putting out 30 grand for one pop
up front. Yeah. Just to
up get front.
Exactly.
Non-refundable. No testing really. It's
and
like,
that's a huge amount of, you think about that kind of pressure. Like
yeah.
it's sink or swim. Right.
And that's why that copy, I think for those types of things mm-hmm. stood the test of time. And yeah. while we still talk about them, yeah. Cause now it's so easy to just throw something up and if yeah. it doesn't work, you take it down, you kill
absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
But it's a lot lazier now. They're like,
there's no risk yeah. there. I mean, the yeah, risk the is not as great. So
yeah, you can control the risk a lot more now mm-hmm. than you could then. Yeah. So yeah. So that guy, we'll be on.
Yeah. No names, but
yeah,
we did work with Gary Halbert. That's enough said. That's all you yeah. have to say, really.
Yeah.
So here's the book. So it's funny. I was listening to, I pulled up this book. I've had this book for like, probably like 10 years and, yeah. It's been on my bookshelf and I refer back to it from time to time, but,
classic.
I was listening to our friend Ben, his, podcast. Cause I tune in every now and then to his Facebook ads with a twang and
great name.
He's going through a series recently on Instagram ads. And that's kind of why I tuned in. And he was going through that, but he brought up this book as his go-to resource. And I'm thought, yeah, I've got that book. And I used to read that thing cover to cover. So, but it's been a while. So I actually pulled it off the shelf. And like, I started going through it last week. There's a really good chapter in it that's worth, to me, it's just worth one. The book in and of itself.
Just one good chapter.
Just one chapter, yeah. No. I mean, that's all there's, I mean, I've combed through this book and there's just one chapter that's worth
yeah.
it.
We're not going to tell you which one, so you have to figure it out for yourself.
I'm not going to give you the chapter number, but it has to do with psychological triggers. And I'm not going to go through each one of these. We can spend some time next week. There's a whole bunch of them. There's probably like, 20 or 30 psychological triggers.
It's gotta be like 37. It can't be 30, 33.
You're right. It's not an even
32.
Number. Yeah, exactly. And some of these are obvious, you know, but one that stands out to me is involvement. And that's kind of like this whole discussion of AI,
mm-hmm.
giving the person that you're writing to a feeling of involvement. I don't see when I'm going through that. And that's one of the first psychological triggers in writing copy is involving your person, like painting a picture, you know, that yes. we talk about all the time. Like imagine if Sean, yep. That's why I have a hard time, with AI, thinking that AI is going to replace that. And it could, I'm not saying, I mean, yeah. the technology's, you know, we're in the early stages, but it's still hard to imagine an AI, artificial intelligence, that's painting a, you know, basically putting that your reader, you know, in the position of that ownership and right. making them feel as if they're a part of the process. Because to me, that takes a skill set of understanding your person, the reader, the person that yep. you're writing to or that you're talking to, and yep. having that understanding of them to really paint that picture in the first place. So,
yeah, let me show you an email I wrote this week that kind of fits. I can't screen share on here because you're the, oh yeah, I can. Hold on.
You should be able to.
Which one is it? That one. Got three screens, so I never know which. I think you have to let me in the show.
Oh, share screen. How do I do that? There you go. I see it.
There you are. Yeah. So let me make this a little bigger. Yeah. So this is kind of that involvement you're talking about, I think. Mm-hmm. So let me just, yeah, that looks good. Right. So if you're watching us on the YouTubes or Facebook Lives or whatever, this is an email I wrote this week for a client, local regional company that does granite countertops, mm-hmm. and installs those in people's homes, businesses, things like that. Right. Mm-hmm. So like in your area, Jonathan, these would be like Smoky Mountain tops.
Yeah, but absolutely.
These guys are up mm-hmm. kind of Indiana, Louisville, that kind of area. So I was like, all right, so we need to talk to these people. Like, what's the narrative going on in their head? What's the current event? Like that kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, people have been stuck at home for a while.
Sure.
So, you know, that's the kind of stuff. That's the kind of stuff I don't know if AI can do and how mm-hmm. it does that. That's right. Why I was talking about, you have to be up on current events. You have mm-hmm. to be up on like, what's the mood right Absolutely. Now of the country.
Yeah.
And like I said, I have no doubt it'll get there. I just don't know if it's there yet. Right. So this is that involvement, like tired of staring at each other yet. Mm-hmm. Right. So, this was my original like idea, locked up staring at those old counters, but that was like too obvious. Mm-hmm. Right. It was like too much about counters. Yeah. So I was like, how can I make that a little bit more vague, a little bit more enticing? So I said, tired of staring at each other yet. And knowing that I was going to be talking about the counters staring.
Sure.
Right. So, right. But I kept it a little bit vague, but then I was like, well, maybe I should have people staring at each other. So right. I just said, hey, Name, how are you doing? It's been a weird few months, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. And now school is starting back sort of. Maybe. Anyway, since this whole lockdown stay at home deal started, we've all been spending a lot more time staring at each other. Mm-hmm. And you may have begun to notice some things you hadn't noticed before. Things like how many pairs of sweatpants, gym shorts, leggings, and t-shirts you and your family own, or how often some wear the same ones. Or how much time you spend in your kitchen now that restaurants are either closed or more hassle than it's worth. Speaking of kitchens, Have you been staring at your counters wondering if it's finally time to upgrade them to the latest materials like quartz and granite, both in the latest colors? Mm-hmm. If so, I'm glad you opened this email today. So it's a very one-to-one, very like, yeah. They can see like, yeah, I see my husband's wearing sweatpants every day or, you know, the same ones every day. Like, that kind of humor is really hard to pull off. Like,
oh, absolutely. Without
that human element, yeah, right?
Absolutely. Because what you've incorporated in that is like, you know, people can relate to current events, stuck at home, kids yep. uncertain about school right now,
yep.
you know, kind of on the fence. Some do, you know, some are, some aren't.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's very timely.
Yeah. And like this email is going out to probably, they have about 8 stores across a pretty big, mm-hmm. very varied region.
Yeah.
Where some schools are starting, some aren't. Like, so I had to be able to take all that into account mm-hmm. and then segue into the actual business talk, which is about kitchens and upgrading counters. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's, hey, we received a new selection of stone, gorgeous stuff. And I'd love for you to have first dibs on it for your kitchen.
Yeah.
Or bath, or bar, or hearth.
Yeah.
All right, give them some ideas. After all, you've probably been spending quite a bit more time in your kitchen than ever before, mm-hmm. so might as well be a place you love hanging out, right?
Absolutely.
And like these little things, like right, like getting them actually
yeah.
in the...
Questioning, yeah.
Yeah, and getting them nodding their head. Yeah, that, mm-hmm. that sounds right. Mm-hmm. However, if it's not the place in your home you love to gather and entertain, because what do you see on every episode of HGTV? Well, we want a place to entertain, right? So I'm using that language. Mm-hmm. Gather is like the family language.
Yeah.
Like these words are chosen, right? So gather is like this family. Yep. You gather around the hearth, you gather around the kitchen, heart of the home, and then entertain, like
that's young. That's like young people.
It's also the aspirational part. Like sure. everybody wants a home that they could entertain in.
Because they're
nobody does.
Right.
Hardly anybody does.
Right.
But every single episode of HGTV, they're like, oh, this would be a great entertaining space. Yeah. I haven't had anybody over in 16 years, but if I did, this is
they can
the
imagine
spot.
It. Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean,
and they think the house is going to be the difference,
right?
Which it's not. It's going to be right. sending out invitations and asking people to come over.
Sure.
Then let us help. You can stop by any of our locations, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Get a free estimate on our website. You know, ready to stop staring at those counters that are just okay mm-hmm. and ready to fall in love with your kitchen again.
Yeah.
Stop by and see the difference, blah, blah, blah.
This is,
so that's just,
yeah, that's good.
Just super easy. Like, but you, there's so many nuances in that mm-hmm. and it looks super easy to write, but you know, yeah. that took me, I mean, it took me like 2 hours to write, even sure. though it's, you know, not that many words.
Right.
To get the nuance and all that kind of stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And I probably thought about it for 2 or 3 days before that, just kind of, you know, letting it bounce around in my head a little bit. Yeah. So, I think that's,
yeah, I just don't see, maybe we're wrong. I just don't see AI right. writing something like that.
Maybe it's wishful. Maybe it's wishful thinking.
Yeah, could be. But yeah, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say if you had AI and you could hire top level copywriters
right.
to give them stuff to work off of, mm-hmm. it could accelerate that process.
Absolutely.
So I think that's the difference. And I do know somebody that's doing that with a copywriting tool, piece of software
sure.
where he's got, you know, B and A level copywriters programming mm-hmm. the structure, and then the AI kind of spins it and does its thing with it.
Yeah.
So it is coming, and he's a A-level copywriter himself.
Sure.
And he sees the writing on the wall that this is going to happen no matter what. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be on the AI side of it and be making money on the AI side of it.
Yeah. That's,
it is going to happen.
It's going to, yeah, exactly. It's going to happen. To what degree, we don't know, but
it'll be like anything else. Like there's still going to be, but you're going to have to be really good mm-hmm. to battle the AI, right? So you're going to have to be you can buy a pair of shoes or you can buy a pair of handmade Italian shoes still from a cobblesmith or whatever they're called, cobbler. Those guys are still out there.
Yeah.
Just like a hand tailored suit is still out there. Mm-hmm. So the good news is if you get really good at the skill of copy or anything else that AI could replace, you'll actually be able to command higher fees.
Absolutely.
It'll become almost artwork.
Right.
So I think that's good.
Yeah. I think so too. Yeah, I think it drives what you're saying is it drives the people that are exceptional at this, drives their value up even more. So, yep. And I think that's a good thing. Yeah. Because I there's so many people that jump into copywriting, you see it. I mean, unfortunately you get on places like Fiverr, you know, where you, mm-hmm. and I would never recommend hiring somebody off of Fiverr, but unfortunately there's people that advertise their services on places like Fiverr, you know, yeah. to get started. And, I think something like this is not going to be good for them.
Right.
It's going to be great for guys like you and a lot of the higher tier, copywriters out there, because it's going to create new opportunities.
Right. Yep. For sure.
Love to hear that interview. We'll have to incorporate that if you get a chance. So,
yeah, we'll do that. All right. Is that it? We're gonna wrap there.
Yeah, I think so. We'll come back to triggers next week on a separate episode. Maybe we can actually throw it around with our guest. I'm not gonna mention names, but it's gonna be a good one. So we can discuss that next week.
That'll be good. That'll give us a jumping off point. And yep. He's got a book we can talk about. He's got some cool stuff, but, awesome.
Looking forward to
mainly,
it.
Mainly we'll talk shop like we usually do. So
sounds good. All right, guys, you can find us over at persuasionbythepint.com. You can find us on all of your podcast platforms, whatever you listen to. You can also find our Facebook group over at facebook.com/groups/persuasionbythepint. And as always, thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks.
See ya.